Good morning. It is wonderful to once again be gathered in our Father's house, to be the place where we receive the things we need. And today we're going to be talking about how God has provided for us in amazing ways, has provided for his people in the future, and how he continues to make incredible provision for us today, especially the provision of our the forgiveness, life, salvation that we so desperately need, so that we don't need to fear death, that we know that on that last day when we stand before God, we will be wearing the righteousness that Christ has given us in our baptism. And so as we gather here this morning, let us begin remembering that day that we were baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us another day. Another day to worship you, another day to serve others and to serve you. Lord, I pray that you would guide us this day and help us to not be distracted by the cares of this world, but to set our hearts and our minds on you. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for you today. Our first reading is from 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. And what I like about this reading is Paul really just lays it out on the line. He shows all his cards, and it's a great reading. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know this man, whether in body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. Was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. Or I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to them, those who were seated, as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. What holiday did we just celebrate? 4th of July. Does that have a different name? Yeah, it does. The other name is Independence Day. Do you know what that means? It means we're not dependent. The people were dependent upon King George in England to keep them safe. But they didn't want to be under King George. They wanted to be independent. They didn't want to depend on anybody. Do we depend on anybody? What happened in the Bible reading just now? There were over 5,000 people there, and they were hungry. Who took care of them? Who took care of them so 5,000 men were able to eat? Jesus, you're right. Jesus was able to take care of them. And so, who takes care of you? Jesus is the one who takes care of you. You're right. Now, mom and dad, they go to the store and buy food, right? And they pay for your house, your room, your bedroom. They get you your clothing, right? But where do they get the money? From Jesus. Because Jesus gives them the ability to do work, doesn't he? And so we are dependent, aren't we? So even though we celebrate Independence Day, we need to remember that we are dependent on God. And so we pray to him. We ask him to continue blessing us. And we also pray to him and say, thank you, God, for all the wonderful things that you have given us. Keep us mindful, Lord. Shall we pray? Fold your hands and say after me. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for all your wonderful gifts. Keep us always remembering how dependent we are on you, especially for that eternal life which we will live with you in heaven through Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross. Is there a cross? There is the cross. Very good. And you guys will be back after the sermon. And the rest of us, let's open up the scriptures today and hear what God has to say to us. So this is an interesting situation, right? You had a whole bunch of independent, free-thinking people make a rational decision to walk into this place where there was no food, to follow Jesus and hear him. And only one of them packed a lunch. It sounds like a them problem. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had that thought in life, you know, where you say, if you make a whole bunch of really bad choices in a row, then, and you have to carry the burden for that bad decision, you know, in life we struggle to be sympathetic sometimes, you know? Because you look at a situation, you go, that was so obvious. You really messed up. To walk deep into the hillside with no food. Jesus, he struggled with taking other people's problems on himself. Have anybody here do that? I do that. I think I do that because because an extension of Jesus's ministry, you know, that as Jesus kind of, he did this. He would look at somebody and he would say, okay, he did it here. He walked up to his disciples. He didn't even take it on himself. He kind of dumped it on the disciples first. He goes to the disciples and he says, so, how are we going to feed these people? And the disciples have to be like, what? Not only do we not have the money, Jesus, there's no place to go and buy that much food. It would take, they said, 200 days of labor would not be enough to give everybody one bite. It's not possible. This can't be done. Sorry, you know? But Jesus, he continues, he persists in his taking on the troubles and the shortcomings and the bad choices of the people. He takes it on himself. And he does something amazing. He takes that little lunch that the kid brought, right? And he breaks it, he takes it, he gives thanks, and he breaks it into pieces, and he hands it out to the people. and everybody is fed. It's an incredible number. They talk about 4,000 men, not counting women and children. I mean, it's like, that's a lot of people. And everybody eats one kid's lunch because Jesus provides for them. As the disciple said, you can't even give any credit to the lunch that Jesus started with, because as they said, okay, we have one person that brought food, but what is that among so many? In other words, it is nothing. And Jesus took that nothing and he made it enough. And he provided for the people. Now, I would love to think that Jesus is just teaching his disciples a message on the provision of God, how God can provide for people no matter what and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think that's really what Jesus was getting at, because the people got that lesson. And it wasn't the one that Jesus was going for. They got the lesson that Jesus was able to provide for them, and they thought that was pretty cool. Because if Jesus can do it once, he can do it a bunch of times. And you know what would be really amazing is if they could get their food for nothing. And one way they could get their food for nothing is to basically take Jesus and make them their king. If we make Jesus our king, if we make him our leader, then he can just feed us all the time. Wouldn't that be a great plan? And did Jesus agree with this plan? No, Jesus was like, nope, sorry, wrong, and left. And so what was Jesus trying to teach? What was the lesson that he was trying to give? And we find out that just a few chapters, like in the next chapter, where the people come to him and say again, hey, feed us. You know, they're looking for more handouts. And Jesus says, look, you seem to still not get this. I'm the bread of life. I'm the one that this is about. This isn't just me showing off and showing how powerful I am. I'm trying to teach you something. These people had been out in the wilderness. They had no plan for food. Guys, how important is food? How cheerful are we when we're not properly fed? And I know the guys will take credit for it, because our wives would never get crabby when they're hungry. Just would never happen. So the thing is that we understand how important food is. And if you're out there with your wives and children as well, food is really important, because as bad as men can misbehave without food, how do children behave? I mean, things fall apart very quickly. And so they had this really intense need that they walked into willingly. And Jesus, why? Why would Jesus take on himself the needs of the rest of the people when they walked into it willingly? When they made the choices, they did it. It was on them, and he took responsibility for their need. Why would he do that? It's called grace. It's called undeserved love. We talk about it all the time, right? I mean, it's this love that God gives us even though we have no claim on it, no right to it. We can't demand it of God because we are sitting in our own mess. The mess we created, he rescues us because he loves us even though we make messes. Right? And so here's the thing. When Jesus tells us in the next chapter, I am the bread of life, what is he trying to teach us when he feeds these thousands and thousands of people? That is it just the food problem that he's trying to teach? Or is there another mess that we're carrying around with us? Another mess that we make by our own choice, by our own weakness, by our own selfishness, by our own will, we create a mess, and that mess is the mess of sin. And as we walk around life and we sin, we damage our relationship with God. That the perfect expectation that God has for us, his law, his plan for how we would relate to him, relate to each other, and relate to the world that he created, this perfect plan, this perfect law, this way that would be so good to live, this way that would make things actually function and work and work together and be everything God wanted this world to be, we continually fall short of that perfect plan. And when we do so, we don't just hurt our relationship with God. We don't just hurt ourselves. We also hurt our relationship with the people around us as we hurt them. And we also damage the creation that God gave us. We make enormous messes every place. I mean, find a war that didn't start because of sin, right? What God tells us about disease and famine and floods and pestilence, all those things, he tells us those came into the world because when mankind sinned, the world was damaged. All of those things are an effect of sin in our lives. When we are selfish, when we put ourselves first, you know, my mom said she had an uncle once who said, after me, you come first. And unfortunately, we live that way way too much. You know, I mean, we think about our own needs. And the thing is do we have to think about our own needs? Well, yes, because if you don't take care of yourself, are you going to be any good to anybody else? But the needs that we take care of ourselves minimally. First, but minimally. In other words, this. You always, you know, if you're on an airplane, what mask do you put on first? Your own. Why? Otherwise, you're going to pass out and you're not going to be able to help anybody else, right? But if you put your own mask on first, now you can help people around you put on their masks because now you will stay conscious. Make sense? It's the same thing. It's like when I take kids on mission trips, I tell them, I do want you to think about yourself as much as is necessary so you can help other people. In other words, please take showers because otherwise nobody wants to be around you. You know what I'm saying? Do they need to eat? Yes. Do they need to stop, take breaks in the shade and drink water because they're working out in the hot sun? I mean, do they need to be thinking about themselves? Yes. But not all day, all the time, only as much as is necessary so that we can love other people, right? And so here we are in this world, and we think of, instead of living that way, we think of ourselves first, we put ourselves first, we make our decisions so that we are the most important thing, and the people around us suffer because we are no longer living outwardly, we're living inwardly, and we're not taking care. We are not, what is the word that God has in his law? Love God and love your neighbor, right? And who's your neighbor? Everybody. Well, in that case, we have a lot of work to do because what love means is sacrifice. Anybody here be a parent? You understand love is sacrifice, right? I mean, that's what love is sacrifice. Love means I am going to take something of mine that I could use for myself, and I am going to give it up because of the love that God has put in me, because of the love that God has for this other person. Because if God loves this person, I am obligated to love this person, and I will willingly, out of an act of worship to the God who created both of us and loves both of us, I will give freely this resource that I could use for myself. I'll give it to them. I will sacrifice. It's what love is, right? And what Jesus has done is he has come and he has said, listen, let me show you how it's done. I am the bread of life. You think it's hard to feed thousands and thousands of people? Try redeeming millions and millions of people. You know, when the paralytic was lowered through the roof into the really crowded house where Jesus was teaching, and Jesus looked at him, and he said that when he saw the faith of the man's friends, he told the man, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees were offended. Who is this guy to forgive sins? And Jesus asked them the question, what is harder, to forgive his sins or to tell him to get up and walk? Well, tell me, which is harder? What did it take for Jesus to forgive the man's sins? What was required of Jesus? What did Jesus have to give up? What did he have to sacrifice out of love for that man so that he was able to forgive the man's sins? How about suffering death, right? How about the beatings and the whippings and the agonizing death that Jesus suffered on the cross? How about being abandoned by the Father on the cross when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where we have this crazy thing where the Father and the Son, two members of the Trinity, are somehow severed. I mean, what God did to rescue us is incredible. The sacrifice Jesus made, not just leaving heaven and living on earth, but the death on the cross and the separation from the Father that he experienced for us, literally suffering hell on the cross for us. Paying the full penalty of sin because now we don't have to. And Jesus is telling his people, the people who are following him, the people who are coming to him, the people who are now looking at Jesus as a meal ticket, don't you understand? It's not about food. It's about me. What you need is not the next meal. What you need is me and what I bring you. I'm bringing you the forgiveness of sins. I'm bringing you salvation. I am bringing you the death and resurrection, the sacrifice needed so that everybody can be saved. And it's amazing the symbolism and stuff and the words chosen and used in this reading. It's amazing because it keeps pointing. John is an incredible writer. You know what I mean? And there are so many connections that unfortunately we miss reading English. They're packed in there all over the place. And just think about this. When Jesus says he took the food that the little boy brought, and what did he do next? He gave thanks, and then he broke it up, and he gave it to the people. What does that sound like? What am I going to say in a little bit? On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given, he gave it to, isn't that amazing? Jesus is teaching in so many ways and on so many levels. And one of the things he wants us to understand is, yes, this is all about grace. You want to know what this passage is about? It's not just about feeding people. It's about Jesus showing who he is and what matters to him. That he is willing to take on the bad choices of other people and that he is willing to be their savior, the one who rescues them from the situation that they put themselves in. But not just this little situation, the situation that he came for. The reason he came to earth, that came to earth to earn the salvation of all mankind, and he was teaching his people at this time, listen, this is what it's about. I am the bread of life. And the application for you guys today is Jesus your bread of life? And how does this God provide for you today? By being your bread. Because who is this body and blood? I mean, is it really? And the answer is yeah. Do we understand how? Do we understand any miracle? No, we don't. That's the whole point of them being miracles, right? We don't need to understand. The man who is like told to get up out of that pallet that was just lowered through the roof, did Jesus heal him? Does he have any idea how Jesus did it? But does he benefit from it anyway? Do we understand communion? Do we understand that Jesus is the body and the blood that we are receiving in this meal? Do we understand how that happens? But does God's promise come true anyway? That through this meal, we receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, that this spiritual food nourishes us and gives us strength to continue to struggle in this fallen, sinful world, but to live as his people, that in this meal, we receive the forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need because last week's struggle didn't go so well. So Jesus forgives us for last week, strengthens us for next week, and sends us back out into the world, but not alone, with him. He takes our sin upon himself, does it willingly, does it often. Because the message of today's text is this: God is motivated by grace. Love that nobody can deserve. And he is persistent in that grace. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. A God who is gracious, a God who looks upon your people with love and takes our sins upon yourself. That, Lord, on the cross, you took our sin, the guilt of our sin, and paid the penalty for it completely so that we will never have to pay. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in us that faith, a faith that receives that gift, Lord, but also a faith that is able to cling to that gift and not be distracted by the devil when he points out our sin and tells us all the ways that we are not worthy of your love, Lord, because you are a God of grace, a God who loves when you shouldn't love, but you love anyway. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We continue with professing our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the undeserved love that you pour out upon us. Help us to recognize the truth that you are thoroughly providing for us, freeing us to show love and care to others. Open our eyes to see who around us you have called us to show support to and love and care. Lord, I thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. Help us to use the freedoms that we have, which come as a gift from you, to follow your will. Help us to use our freedoms to love you and to love our neighbor. Lord, I pray that you would guide the leaders of this country. Guide them to be a servant of the people that they lead and the people that they represent. Help them to see clearly how they should fulfill their position of service according to your will. And Lord, we pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. I have any children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and go to the back and meet up with our DCE, Lauren Bates, and she'll direct you as to where to go for that. Regarding education, we have here in the sanctuary, in the worship center, rather, Pastor Bob is continuing his the Bible and archaeology class today. And if you're doing the new member class, we're going to try once more to meet in the conference room that's adjacent to the church offices there. So we'll see if we can all fit there this time or if we have to relocate, but hopefully we can all fit there again. A couple other quick announcements. One, I want to direct your attention to a bulletin insert. This is regarding an event at the end of August. We're bringing out Pastor Greg Finke, and by we, I mean the circuit that's churches that are kind of close geographically form a circuit. So you can see the list of the eight churches there at the bottom of that flyer. But we're bringing him out, and he's going to be talking about his book, Joining Jesus as a Family. He also wrote a couple other books, Joining Jesus on His Mission, Joining Jesus, Show Me How. And so kind of thinking about this idea of how do we live out our Christian faith. And so that's an event the last Saturday of August, and it's free for attendees. But it's something where, again, the churches of the circuit are paying to bring this guy out and to share with us his insights. And so I want to get as many St. Mark's people as possible. If you're available to go to that event, please put it on your calendar and plan on attending. So I wanted to direct your attention to that. I got a lot of positive feedback from our Koinonia groups that met earlier this year. And that was, again, kind of a short time, small group with an emphasis on fellowship. Just get to know the people that you're worshiping with. And so I got a lot of positive feedback from that. So we're going to do that again. So that's going to be getting groups together to meet in September, October, and November. So there'll be a sign-up available for that on our website, I think beginning next week. But I just want to, again, kind of put that on your radar. Lastly, Sandra could use some help with, there's a bunch of canned goods that she'd like to take to her car to take where they need to go. She just waved her hand there. And so connect with Sandra there. If you're willing to help with that, that'd be very appreciated. Otherwise, I think that is it for announcements. So go in peace and serve the Lord. I pray you have a blessed week.